Hello there everyone and welcome along to the very first episode of the Pocella Escocia podcast. My name is Martin Devlin, your host for this series and the founder of the Pocella Escocia fan group and website. Thank you so much for joining me for this little piece of history. This is the opening episode of the first ever English language podcast series dedicated to Real Valladolid. Seriously, this has never been done before, so I'm really happy that you could be a part of it. Let's start by taking a look at what's coming up later in the show. We'll kick off this adventure by finding out who Real Valladolid are, as well as how Pocella Escocia started. There'll be some information as to what you can expect from this podcast series, such as regular features and future segments. We'll also recap what happened in our last match against Granada and look ahead to the upcoming fixture against Levante. Before all of that, however, I'd love to hear from you. There are several ways you can get in touch with the show, all of which will be included in the episode description each week, so you'll always have the details to hand. Also, if you pop over to the website, which you'll find at www.pocellaescocia.com, there's a handy link bar across the top left of the screen with various icons on it. Click on each one and you'll get taken to the corresponding platform. For example, if you click on the Twitter icon, you'll land on my Twitter account, which is at MartyRVCF. That's MartyRVCF. And that's where most of my Real Valladolid chat is. There's a very active and knowledgeable Spanish football community on Twitter, and over the course of the next few episodes, I'll list some good accounts and resources to look at for some great Spanish football information in English. We have a Facebook page too, just log on and search for Pocella Escocia. Now, between you and me, and this is just a secret, right? I don't update the Facebook page really as much as I should, so I'll make you a deal. If you could pop on over to the page and click the wee like button, I'll do my best to add more things on a regular basis, okay? Okay, great. What else is there? Well, there's an Instagram page, so if you like colourful score updates and little square boxes, you should head on over and search for our account at Pocella Escocia. And last but by no means least, you can email the show. Send any questions or comments to my email address, Marty, M-A-R-T-I, at PocellaEscocia.com, and they'll come straight through to me here at Pocella Escocia headquarters, which is actually a cupboard in my house in the Highlands of Scotland. So there you have it. There are loads of ways that you can contact the show, and I'd be absolutely delighted if you got in touch. Tell me where you're listening from and let me know if there's anything you would like addressed in future episodes. Right, let's get started then. As you're already listening to the podcast, I'm going to go ahead and assume that there is a good chance that you already know who Real Valladolid are, but maybe you don't. You might be a fan of the club already, or have an interest in Spanish football in general. You might have possibly stumbled across this podcast by accident. Maybe you meant to click on the one above us and thought, well, I'm here now, I may as well have a listen. Perhaps it was the name of the podcast that made you curious, you wouldn't be the first person. Or maybe you were drawn in by the amazing cover art, maybe you just like the colour violet. For whatever reason you found this podcast, I'm really glad that you did, so welcome along and thanks so much again for joining me. Over the coming weeks and months, we will delve deeper into the history of Real Valladolid. In the meantime though, for the beginners among us, let's take a look at the basics. Real Valladolid are a football team playing in the Primera División, the top league in Spain, and they were founded in 1928. They play their home matches in the Estadio José Zorrilla, a stadium with a capacity of a little under 28,000, in the city of Valladolid, which is situated approximately 210 kilometres northwest of Spain's capital, Madrid, in a region called Castile and León. Real Valladolid began play in the Tercera División in 1929, which, although it translates to Third Division, is actually now the fourth tier of football in Spain. Since then, they've played a total of 86 seasons in the various leagues, and of those, they have spent 42 in Primera, 34 in Segunda, and 10 in Tercera. Hopefully my maths adds up there. They've never won the Primera División, but the one major trophy that they did capture was the 1984 Copa de la Liga, and they have also won the Segunda División twice in 1948 and 2007, as well as winning the Tercera four times. So it's not exactly a burgeoning trophy cabinet, but the team is ranked 13th all-time in Spain by number of points achieved. That 1984 Cup final win remains the jewel in the Real Valladolid crown, and later down the line, I'll look into that success in more depth on this podcast, as well as pointing you in the direction of our friends at the wonderful La Liga Lowdown podcast, who expertly brought that match to life in a recent episode of theirs. Perhaps the biggest news to come out of the Jose's area in recent years was when Brazilian legend Ronaldo Nazario bought a 51% stake in the club back in September 2018 to become majority shareholder. Ronaldo was one of the most famous players of his generation, winning numerous honours at club and international level, such as league titles, European trophies and World Cups. This acquisition made the footballing world sit up and take notice, and many people who speak to me about the club were relatively unaware of Real Valladolid until Ronaldo took over as president. So that's a little bit of information about the club to get you started. Now, to look at Pucela Escocia itself. Pucela is one of the nicknames most associated with the club, along with Blancavioletas, which translates to the white and violets, which is a reference to their traditional playing colours. However, Pucela is a difficult term to nail a direct translation to. Some sources cite it as referring to the knights who served Joan of Arc, who were known as La Pucelle, while others suggest it originates from a type of cement called pozzolana, which came from Italy but was sold in Spain in Valladolid. And if you are Italian, or you're listening in Italy, I do apologise for that pronunciation of pozzolana. Both of these theories are contested, while others have suggested that the name draws from the river Pisuerga, which runs through the city. Regardless of its origin, Real Valladolid are often referred to as just Pucela, but it can also mean the city itself and is used interchangeably. Citizens of Valladolid are often known as Pucelanos or Pucelanas, depending on their gender. I used Pucela in the name of the fan group to link it to Valladolid, and added Escocia, which is the Spanish word for Scotland, where I live. The idea of Pucela Escocia came from when I first saw the team play in 2010, when they actually came to my home city of Inverness to play a pre-season match. I immediately fell in love with the team and its colours, and I began to find out more and more about them. I realised there was very little in the way of English information on them, so I set up Pucela Escocia to try and heighten awareness of this great club and the people who really make it, the fans. If you're interested, I was fortunate enough to be able to chat with Sean, a really nice chap from Mumbai, who's passionate about sharing the stories of football fans from around the world who support their teams from a distance. He hosts a podcast called Faraway Fan, and it's really well worth checking out, so search for it on Spotify or other podcast platforms. There are some hugely interesting guests who talk about the love they have for their teams and the lengths they go to in order to follow them. Sean and I spoke for quite a long time about my discovery of Real Valladolid and the adventures it has taken me on, so please pop on over to the Faraway Fan podcast and subscribe for some great stories. Now you're up to speed with who Real Valladolid are, where they play, and what Pucela Escocia is all about. What about the podcast? What can you expect to find in this series? Well, you'll get all the things you'd expect in a regular football podcast. The latest news, such as players arriving and leaving the club, match previews and discussion, that sort of thing. I hope to catch up with Spanish football experts to look not just at Real Valladolid, but also their opponents. After each match, I'll review the side's performance and choose one player in the current squad to discuss their contribution to the Pucela cause since arriving at the club. However, here's where things get different. It's my intention to delve even deeper into the backstory of what makes Real Valladolid such an institution. There'll be segments where the club history is unfolded, little by little. We'll look at famous names to have pulled on that white and violet shirt and have gone on to become cult figures. And we will relive historic games that form part of the club's DNA. I'll speak with other fans and find out what makes the club special to them when they share their stories. Furthermore, I'll shine the spotlight on the city of Valladolid itself and let you in on what makes it so unique. From literature to architecture, music to education, art to science, Valladolid is a city steeped in cultural significance, and its history reads like an epic tale of kings and queens, explorers, novelists and poets. You'll become an expert on what makes the city and the club tick, so that when you go to watch a match in the wonderful Estadio José Zorrilla, you'll be fully clued up on your surroundings and you'll know your Nachos from your Waldos. What about on the field? Let's start now by having a quick look at what's happened in season 2020 to 21 so far, as well as their last match against Granada.
To be perfectly honest, it's been a largely disappointing start to the season, blighted by injuries especially in defence, but there have been reasons to be optimistic in the last few weeks. The campaign began on September 13th at home to Real Sociedad, who were one of La Liga's most improved sides last year, finishing 6th and qualifying for the Europa League. That good form has carried into the season, as they currently sit atop the table, 3 points ahead of second-placed Atletico. Real Valladolid began brightly enough, and they were certainly the better side in the first 45 minutes, as they peppered La Real's goal with chances. They took the lead 6 minutes before the break, thanks in large part to a delightful assist from Sergi Guardiola, who skipped past his defender on the right flank before rolling an inviting ball across the face of the goal, which was side-footed home by Michel. However, this season has seen an increase in individual errors which has cost the team dearly. The first of these happened on the hour mark in this opening match when La Real's Roberto Lopez whipped a free kick into the box, and an uncharacteristic error from the normally sure-handed Jordi Masip allowed the ball to bounce in front of him and find its way into the net. Sharing the points was a cruel reward for such an industrious performance, where Pucela had enjoyed the upper hand for much of the contest. Things were not so close in the second match of the season, away at Real Betis. Real Valladolid were completely outclassed from the beginning and found themselves 2-0 down within 20 minutes. Firstly, Oscar Plano, who scored the winner the last time these teams faced off in Seville, was penalised for handball in the box, and Nabil Fekir converted the penalty. William Carvalho added the second 8 minutes later with what is, in my opinion, one of the best taken goals this season. Further injury woes beset the Blanquivioletas in this match. Captain Javi Moyano limped off in the early stages of the match and was joined on the sideline by Joaquin, as they both joined fellow defenders Javi Sanchez and long-term absentee Kiko Olivas on the treatment table. It was a difficult blow, as Joaquin's consistency and flexibility last season was one of the keys to the team's good defensive record and, ultimately, their survival in the top division. To complete a thoroughly miserable week, Masip tested positive for coronavirus symptoms and was forced to isolate, meaning new goalkeeper Roberto would handle the gloves over the coming weeks. The season continued without a win, as Real Valladolid drew at home to Celta 1-1 in Roberto's debut and lost narrowly away to champions Real Madrid by a solitary goal. They gave a good account of themselves against the side from the capital and arguably deserved more from that contest than they got, but a lapse of concentration and defence surrendered a soft goal, which was the difference in this match. Heading into the international break, a crushing 2-1 home defeat to Eibar consigned them to dead last in the league table. Having gone a goal down through a penalty, Pucela fought back and equalised with a superbly taken Tony Villa strike. However, a missed penalty from Sergi Guardiola came back to haunt them, as they failed to take advantage of their opponents being reduced to 10 men and conceded a hammer blow, losing a goal in the 90th minute to drop to yet another defeat. During the enforced layoff due to international matches, Real Valladolid welcomed Athletic Club to the José Soria in the Trofeo Ciudad de Valladolid, a one-off friendly competition. Athletic went 2-0 up with goals in each half, but Pucela came roaring back with two of their own inside the final 10 minutes through Guardiola and Cookie Zalazar, who was taking advantage of the opportunity handed to several French players. The match was settled by a penalty shootout, which, unfortunately, Athletic won 4-2. The return to league play saw Pucela visit Huesca, who included a familiar face in their lineup, much maligned striker Sandro Ramirez, who spent last season on loan with Real Valladolid. Sandro had endured a prolonged goal drought before his time at the José Soria, and took a while to get going, eventually netting his first goal for the club in November last year against Real Mallorca, while adding another two in the league and one in the Copa del Rey. In this match, Pucela took the lead when Bruno met Oscar Plano's cross from the right and headed it downwards to beat the keeper and net his first goal in white and violet. A superb first half from Roberto between the posts kept Huesca striker Rafa Mir out on several occasions, and Sergio's men led at the break. In the second half, the lead was doubled when the Real Valladolid were awarded a penalty. Spot kick duties fell to Waldo this time, which I think is the first time he's taken a penalty for the first team outside of a shootout, but he made no mistake to put his side 2-0 up. From there, however, things unravelled immediately. From the resulting kickoff, Huesca took full advantage of the visiting defence falling asleep, and Mir finally found a way past Roberto to reduce the deficit. Worse was to come though when Sandro was introduced to the action. Having failed to find the net for almost 2 whole years for a host of teams, the striker had been on the pitch for just 19 seconds when he scored against his former employers. The less said about that, the better, and the match finished all square at 2-2. The one silver lining to this match was that with the point gained and Levante's loss, Real Valladolid pulled themselves away from the bottom spot, but only as far as 19th. This didn't last long, unfortunately, as back-to-back 2-0 losses saw them right back in dead last. The first, at home to Deportivo Alaves, saw Saidi Janko make his debut at right back, but on the other flank, Nacho Martinez fouled Lucas Perez in the box to give away a penalty, and he received a red card, the first dismissal of any Real Valladolid player during Sergio's tenure as manager. Although Perez hit the bar with the ensuing penalty, some woefully slack defending in the second half allowed Thomas Pina to drift in and slot home to break the deadlock. Furthermore, Borja Sainz added a late second from close range to compound the misery on a rainy afternoon. The following match was Real Valladolid's first Monday night outing this season, but not even the return of Jordi Masip to the starting goalkeeper role could prevent Villarreal from winning at La Ceramica. First half goals from Samuel Chukwueze and Pau Torres did the damage, and Pucela remained rooted to the foot of the table. Going into match day 9, Real Valladolid welcomed Athletic Club back to the José Zaria for their second meeting in exactly 1 month. The outlook was not at all bright for the hosts. Bottom of the league, without a win, and facing a side they traditionally struggle with, winning just 24 of their 91 meetings. Athletic had dispatched with the hosts easily the last time they faced off in Valladolid in league duty on match day 27 last season. They ran out comfortable 4-1 winners in the last match before the coronavirus pandemic forced the league to be paused for 3 months. A wonderful strike from Waldo had given Pucela a 1-0 win at this stadium back in May 2019, but you needed to go back more than 10 years to February 2009 to find the last time they had emerged victorious over Los Leones. So it was a tall order, but fortunately though, things just seemed to click into place for Real Valladolid. Athletic keeper Unai Simon gave away a penalty inside 20 minutes when he brought down Marcos André in the box. Fabiano Reano stepped up to convert the penalty for his first goal since his arrival in the summer. After the break, there was another first when Marcos André got on the score sheet himself. Simon parried a Pablo Hervia shot, and the big Brazilian striker was the quickest to react, stabbing home from close range to put them 2-0 up. Sergio, possibly aware of what had happened when they went ahead by 2 against Huesca, immediately began to make defensive movements. He introduced Luis Perez at right back on the hour mark, and then brought on Yawad El Yamik and Raul Carnero to strengthen the defence. However, Perez made a distinctly maverick dimension to the side, and made some ill-advised challenges. Firstly, he slid in on Yuri Berchichi right on the edge of the box and conceded a penalty which Iñaki Williams scored from with 4 minutes to play. Then, as the minutes ticked away and Athletic threw everything that they had forward in search of the draw, he again made a reckless challenge deep inside his own half out on the right flank, which gave the visitors a free kick in a menacing position. Thankfully for him, and everyone connected with the club, Athletic were unable to scratch out an equaliser, and Real Valladolid had finally secured their first win of the season. It had been a long time coming, and the relief was palpable. But just as a little bit of momentum had been built up, then another international break came along. It couldn't have come at a worse time, as Pucela looked to build on that first win. When they returned, a tricky test awaited them. 4th-placed Granada, away at the Estadio Nuevo Los Cármenes. The Andalusians were another team that had been tough opponents over the years. In 10 meetings at Granada, the hosts had won 7 of them, and they had started their 2020-21 campaign well, not just domestically, but in Europe too. Diego Martinez had guided them to an impressive 3 wins out of 4 at Los Cármenes in La Liga, while winning all 3 of their Europa League qualifiers and going unbeaten in the group stages so far. So they were really up against it, but just as it had done against Athletic, things fell the way of the Blanquivioletas and they emerged with a 3-1 win. It hadn't been all plain sailing, as Oscar Plano squandered a golden opportunity inside 3 minutes. It was one of those chances that you fear will come back and haunt you. Guardiola's clever ball over the top saw Plano exploit the space between Granada captain Germán Sánchez and right back Dimitri Fulquier, and he ran onto the pass. faced with a one-on-one situation with Rui Silva, Plano attempted to bend the ball around the goalkeeper but got it all wrong and put his effort wide of the right post. Real Valladolid appeared to be trying to involve Marcus Andre as much as possible, using his physical presence, but the next good chance fell to his strike partner Guardiola, with 1 minute remaining in the first 45. Ruben Alcaraz played him in down the middle as he also evaded the attention of Sanchez and Carlos Neva, but he dragged his tame left-footed shot disappointingly wide. Credit must go to Plano for his continued application, despite his glaring miss earlier on, and his industry was rewarded deep into time added on, when he stole in front of Sanchez, whose lack of mobility was being severely exposed in this game, to head in Guardiola's cross at the near post to give his side the lead. Marcos Andre repeated his trick from the last match, netting soon after the restart. Guardiola and Plano linked up to feed the ball onto the Brazilian, and he carried the ball into the box before shifting onto his left foot and firing across goal. Rui Silva did get down low to get a hand to it, but he couldn't stop the ball rebounding off the base of the post and finding the net. That's two goals in two games for Marcos Andre, and you have to wonder what that will do for Weissmann's chances in the near future. Still, it's not often Real Valladolid have goal-scoring conundrums that are good. Granada started to come alive after Pozella's second goal, and made several tactical and personnel changes as they grew into the match. 10 minutes after conceding the second, they were back within touching distance. Darwin Machis played a corner in from the right, and it was helped on by Fulquier. Centre-back Domingos Duarte had ghosted through a crowded box, losing his marker Bruno, and was left with a tap-in to halve the arrears. With just under a quarter of an hour to play, Sergio made a triple substitution, which included Portuguese starlet Jota. The midfielder, who had represented his country during the international break in the under-21's win over the Netherlands, claimed his first goal for Real Valladolid in the 93rd minute. He won possession deep inside the Granada half and scampered forward before finishing clinically past Rui Silva to seal the win. Wow, what a couple of weeks. The team is starting to really turn things around now, and that win pulled them out of the relegation zone and up into 17th place on 9 points. It also makes Friday night's match at home to Levante crucial, because Los Granotas sit just one place and 2 points behind Pozella. Now that you're up to speed with what's happened so far this season, let's look ahead to that very fixture. Real Valladolid face off against Levante at the José Zorrilla, looking to maintain the progress made by those two consecutive wins. Although Levante are also struggling this season, they are definitely not a team to be taken lightly. They finished last season in 12th place on 49 points, which was one place above Pozella, who ended the campaign in 13th, with 42 points collected. They played each other twice in the league last season, and it was in match day 3 in August 2019 that the teams met at the Ciutat de Valencia Stadium, and the hosts handed Real Valladolid their first loss of the season with two late goals. An 83rd minute opener from Sergio Leon was added to 3 minutes into stoppage time by José Luis Morales, aka El Comandante, one of my favourite nicknames in sports, to seal the win. In the return fixture, match day 33 in July of this year, the match finished 0-0, but Levante had goalkeeper Aitor Fernandez to thank as he saved a 97th minute penalty from Enes Unal to preserve a point for his side. Overall, Levante enjoy the advantage in head-to-head comparisons between the sides. They have won 9 of the 20 fixtures, while Pozella have 5 wins and there have been 6 draws. The record is better for Real Valladolid in home matches though, as they have won 4 out of the 10 encounters to Levante's 2 with 4 draws. Both sides have scored 13 times in matches at the José Zorrilla, so all the signs point to this being another close affair. Let's consider the hosts first. After 10 matches, Real Valladolid enter this one, as we said, in 17th place with 9 points. They've won twice this season, given a winning percentage of just 20%. However, they can certainly take heart from their recent form, where that winning percentage jumps up to 40% over the last 5 matches. Scoring goals has been a long-term problem for Real Valladolid, and at the moment they're ranked 11th out of the 20 teams in terms of average goals per game with 1.0. They have failed to find the back of the net in 4 out of the 10 games. But having scored only 10 goals this season, 5 of those have come in the last 2 outings, so there is a definite improvement. Marcos Andre is the top scorer with 2, and he will be looking to hit the mark for the third match in a row, and he's sure to start up front given his recent performances. Of those 10 goals, 5 have been scored from open play, 2 via set piece, and 3 from penalties. Talking of penalties, Real Valladolid have been awarded 4 this season, which is second in the league to Real Sociedad's 6. They've scored 3 out of the 4, Waldo, Fabian Orellana and Sergi Guardiola being successful, with the only miss coming from Guardiola in the loss to Eibar. It doesn't seem like we've settled on a regular penalty taker yet, which is something I'd like to see addressed, especially as they seem to be counting for a considerable portion of our goals total. We're also tied for the most penalties conceded, with Real Betis, both teams having had 4 given against them. 3 out of these 4 have been scored, with Lucas Perez hitting the bar for Alaves being the only miss. Defensively, it's not a great story, with no clean sheets this season, and an average of 1.5 goals being conceded per match. Now, given how steady the defence was last season, this is an area of concern, as performance has definitely dropped off here, and a large part of that can be contributed to losing the regular centre-back pairing of Salisu and Olivas to transfer and injury respectively, along with a raft of other injuries to defensive players. Olivas continues to be a long-term injury loss, but is really the only player who will be unavailable for this upcoming fixture, so it's good to see the manager with pretty much a full squad to choose from. For Levante, they have played one match less, as their fixture with Atletico Madrid in matchday 2 was postponed to allow the capital side more time to recover from their European exploits. In their 9 matches, Levante have won just once, and that was away at Osasuna in matchday 3 by a score of 3-1, which is not an easy place to go and get a good result. They haven't won in their last 7 outings since that victory, but they have posted 4 draws in a row, which have all curiously ended 1-1. In 2 of these, against Granada and Alaves, they played against 10 men but couldn't make the extra man advantage count. They've failed to hit the net in 3 of their 9 chances, but have scored in each of their last 4, and they have danger man Morales at hand, who's always able to cause opposition teams a problem. He has 4 goals this season, which sees him just 2 behind La Liga's top scorer, Mikel Oyarzabal of Real Sociedad, who is on 6. The two teams possess very similar statistics, so again, this should be a very close game. There is an injury doubt for Levante goalkeeper Aitor Fernandez, who has a contusion, but he's expected to make the matchday squad, which, at the time of recording, hasn't yet been released. Left midfielder Enis Bardi has a hernia and missed their last home game to Elche, and it remains to be seen if he'll have recovered in time. If you are watching the match, keep an eye out for 2 ex-Blanquivioletas. Striker Roger Marti played over 40 times for Real Valladolid in 2 separate loan spells, in season 2014-15 and in 2016, while winger Jorge de Frutos joined us on loan from Real Madrid in the summer of 2019. But he didn't get much of a chance, and he joined Real Oviedo in the Segunda on loan in January 2020 before making a permanent switch to Levante this summer. He has featured at some point in all of their matches this season, and he's a player of real quality. I'm delighted to see him getting the playing time that he deserves. And that's it. We have reached the end of the show. The first episode of the Posela Escocia podcast is in the books. It has been delayed for a number of reasons, so I'd like to acknowledge the problems I've experienced getting the show started, but also to thank people for their interest and kind messages of support. It truly is wonderful to know that people have been really looking forward to listening. I realise it's been a bumper episode and there's been a lot to get through. I also realise I've talked a lot about myself in this podcast, but it's been vital to set the context of how Posela Escocia came about and where my interest stems from. Future episodes will be far more team focused, with my opinions thrown in, and hopefully yours too. If you've made it this far, thank you so much for being a part of this, and don't forget to check out the contact details on the website or in the show notes. It would be great to hear from you. We'll be back next Thursday to talk about how the Levante match went and to preview the trip to the Wanda Metropolitano to play Atletico Madrid as December rolls around. That's all for now. Thank you for listening and stay safe.